He stares in the eyes of the man who despises him.
And you see, black is my real mother. Said when I came out the womb, my little black sis was raised in the air like butter. And she was proud, because I was going to take after her, not give it to her.
Welcome to Flight 3D. This is your captain speaking. We ask that you please note the emergency exits and safety signs in the event our journey becomes just too deep.
All right, we're going to get into the language that I like. The Lord is powerful, Christ.
It can't put a basketball down. He leaped tall, Super Nigga, in a single bound. Super Nigga ain't got no degrees, he ain't got no time for that. Street corner, crack houses, projects, his natural habitat. Super Nigga got super strength, speed, and agility. So it's understandable when the cops beat him down to the best of their ability. Super Nigga had no supervision. Instead, he had super instinct. Between 17 and 25 super inches, used to satisfy them super
sisters. Well, they clone little black girls who won't die but fight. Well, they clone little black girls who supplement stamina for endless struggles to write. Well, they clone little black girls like Asada, Sonia, Tubman, knowing what they know. Well, they clone little black girls like Nikki, Zora, Mommy, Grandma. Who orchestrate transportation.
Ain't nobody got more than us. Aspiring artists spit saliva in their palms, producing hits, making noise with their fists. Lanky limbros with afros break beats and pop lock on dance flows made a combo.
Let me talk to you for a second.
You hear me? You see me? You feel me? You taste the gumbo of my soul? Our voice, our choice, our life's silent poise, our death's raging noise. How quickly can we fill the voids with illness and distance? How well can we heal the pain with no trust, no faith, simply fear and rage? Does it even matter when we have valid reasons, season tickets, and life-permitted vouchers to feel this way? We living. Like birds who fear flying, conditioned to the system that has us dying, babies still having babies while the village to raise each child is getting caged, facing exile, all the while we smile out of denial and consistent error and trial, on account of simplistic survival. Life will bend like raised braids. We all get in how we fit in and receive it how we see it. The single difference is how we spend it. Be crooks with books and brains get chained. Now looks get hooked by vision. The path paved, refrain from craving stained veins. Engage between page bind by savings of spent time. Invest in a life by releasing its truth. Despite enable stability, foundation crocheted hooks and capabilities. His eyes on the sparrow, open mind, vision narrow. Take time to give life, because birds in fear of heights is what we tend to look like. Take a dive, the risk is right. Double-edged pros and cons, either side, the place is here. I undress my fear, let it lay at rest. Requisite is the quiet mind, silently beating in soul of my chest, breaking bread with those who feed the fed, and lead the steps of the walking dead. To bark that speaks the life of breath, these leaves will fall, our stump will stand, the roots are everlasting bloodline of our land. We dig for gold like no man can, a pharaoh from the moon and sun. I was born to exercise our right to use guns that pierce shooting stars we wish on. Wet ink and pupil vision claims them starlights as ours for the taking. So what for do you take in what you breathe out? It's a spout, cycle, circumference, armed by the drought. Tears pour, our ears soak in, hearts ring it out. Through the body's physical fight, screaming the same shout from beginning of time. Now, no sense of judgment, no expectations given. Standards rise high, though, and here we are, a village, each speaking through how we're living. A different language I speak than you. Now we reconstruct comfort zones. You walk alone without courage. I cross lanes and airways with planes when I'm discouraged. And rage, how eyes can blind us, and thoughts without dialogue can lock our future behind us. Reverse freestyle, no rehearsal for a simple lifestyle. We will rise. Customize our consumer's disguise. They may try and eat me alive, but these veins have roots that survive cheating a thief and telling a liar the truth. As I rise, I'm such a humble, nasty disaster. so natural in this disaster or tornado internally faster. We spin to see an end to circles, yet the eye of my chaos grips my limbs, crippled my tongue, stretched my ears, glossed my eyes. Now I hear my bliss and cry, hearing twice as much as I speak, breathing life twice as much as I bleed. I pray change will cradle me, rock me right to sleep consistently. Allow my birth to be the reason my ancestors rest in peace. Allow my life to define treason. Any time a mind conditioned to envy sees a noose to be uplifting and smoke supportive of breathing, let love be the dominant reason breathing, because love is the dominant reason being. Welcome. Welcome in, welcome in, welcome in. How are we doing tonight?
Hello, everyone. How's everyone doing? Hopefully they're doing fine. I would like to introduce Omar. Omar is someone that's getting ready to speak to us from the youth. Omar, say hello to everyone.
Yes. Hello, y'all can hear me, right?
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if I clicked in. But how y'all doing? My name is Omar, and I'm supposed to be speaking with y'all tonight about, like, the youth and everything that's going on.
Thank you, Omar, for joining us and having the courage to speak up and speak out. My first question is, how you doing tonight? How do you feel?
Good.
Good. Anthony, are you on the line? Smoot, are you on the line?
Yes, Smoot is on the line.
Hey, Smoot, introduce yourself to Omar.
Hey, Omar, what's going on? My name is Smoot, all the way down in Atlanta, Georgia. How are you today?
I'm chilling today.
Good, good.
Is it raining?
Okay, Omar. So we have a couple of questions for you. Why the protest?
You said why the protest?
Yes. Why is everyone protesting and looting?
Everybody was protesting because of the murder about George Floyd. And everybody was angry because they tired of police brutality.
How do you feel about police brutality, personally?
Well, I personally feel like people should treat people like they want to be treated, whether you're a cop or not. Like, you shouldn't just push somebody to the ground or just hurt them because you got the power to do it. Like, that's never going to solve anything. I feel like everybody should treat people how they want to be treated, especially cops.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So why now? This has happened several times already. What drove for now?
Are you planning to get the same?
I think people just tired of it. Like, it's just been going on for so long that, you know, it's just the breaking point. I really don't know why now, but I just think people just real tired.
So out of everyone that you know that might have participated in the protest part, what were they saying to you the day that they decided to go out and protest? Or did you join it? Did you feel the need or the urge to just go out and do something? And what type of support did you think, or where did y'all get your information from as far as where to go and what y'all were doing?
Well, it was a lot of people, like, was just posting, like random people that I follow, just like me, was just saying, we going to have a protest today, or we going to do this today. And everybody would just follow up and do it. But I think, I don't know why now everybody fighting back, but I just know that people was, like, just tired. Like, I guess everybody just feel the same way. I don't know why people just really, really, really mad this time. Like, it wasn't been going on, but I just know it was people just like me, though, just saying, hey, we're going to meet up downtown, so come down here, and then we're going to protest. And that's how that went.
It's like a breaking point.
Okay.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah.
Yeah, a breaking point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And with COVID-19 happening and everyone's supposed to be at home, I'm just really interested to the reason why no one had fear of that, and they still decided to go out and be amongst each other to represent.
Because I feel like, me personally, I just think you can't have fear forever. Like, you, if we would have just sat in the house, then, you know, it just would have just seemed like we didn't care. I just feel like all that went out the window. Like, everybody was just like, it was a break. When you get to a breaking point, you just don't care no more about what's going to happen. You just trying to get to a resolution, even if you don't know how you're going to get to it. You just going to do what you got to do. And I guess people was doing what they had to do. Some people probably were just taking it too far, but some people probably felt like they wasn't taking it too far. I don't really have an answer for it. I just know that it was a breaking point.
I definitely understand the breaking point because I too felt frustration, especially when I seen the video. I didn't know how to react when I seen it, and I cried early in the morning, and I didn't want to watch it. You know, I was just scrolling up my timeline, and it came on. And I've been avoiding this video for 3 days, but when I seen it, I broke down. You know, I was like, I had to cut it off immediately because it was too much. You know, and it's not enough alone that, you know, the city that we live in is a lot of murders and killings going on every single day. But to see mm-hmm. that the people that we call on when we hear a gunshot doing it in front of our faces, it was a lot for me. So I'm, you know, also fighting mixed emotions. But I was just wondering, you know, the youth came out and they overly represented. And I'm hearing a lot of mixed reviews from a lot of different generations on how they feel about what's going on. You know, I'm hearing a lot of chaotic conversations about how this is ignorant and why would they tear up where they live at and why are they out here? They don't even know what they're fighting for when the Rizzo statue went down, you know, but they don't even know who Rizzo is. And I didn't know which line to stand on because I feel like I'm a part a little bit of this generation and a little bit of that generation. So we really just want to hear from you guys the reason why you were out there and what drove you to be, you know, because I know that angered a lot of people, but we have seen this time and time again. So what made y'all just go and start, you know, effing stuff up?
Well, I don't know about everybody, but I know, like, me. I didn't participate, but I'm not going to lie. I wanted to. And I just feel like because, like, I'm only 21 years old, and I feel like I've seen a lot of racism. And I was just mad about a lot of cops just treat people wrong. So I just feel like once I seen that, I'm tired of this. Like, I'm tired of this. And a lot of people felt the same way, too. So I just feel like, I think everybody might have just had the same thing on their mind. I don't really think it's, like, a specific answer to that. I just think somebody, like, yo, I'm tired of this. They posted it. It was like, I want to go down here in March, too. And I think people just tired of seeing it. Like, it's 2020. Like, we learned about this stuff. Like I was born in 1999. I went to elementary school in the early 2000s. We learned about all this type of stuff in the textbooks. Like, they always talk about slavery. They always talk about the segregation stuff. Like, we've been hearing about this stuff our whole life. So if it's 2020, we still seeing and hearing the same thing. Then we tired too. Like, we just tired of hearing about it. People been tired, but we just really, really like, yo, this just gotta come to an end because it can't be like how it was in the 60s. Like, it just can't be. Like, it's 2020. Like, we still living in this. Like, so I feel like everybody had that same type of thought on their mind. Like, and that's why everybody really wanted to go rally, whether they knew about who certain people was or not. And then you had your ignorant people, like some people that just wanted to steal, some people that just wanted to act the fool. But a person like me, like, I might not know everything about it, but I just knew that. I know what I seen on the video, and I know what I see. I see a lot of police be real ignorant and be mean and just be racist, and I see it. So once I seen it on video again, I just got real tired of it. And I just think, like I keep saying, I just think it was just like a breaking point. Like, everybody was feeling the same type of way. I don't even think it was something that had to be said out of your mouth. It was just something that was on everybody's mental. Like, everybody knew how each other felt. So everybody was just like, yo, I'm tired of this. I want to go protest now.
And just made a move.
It just made a move.
I'm just wondering, like this has happened time and time again, you know, just looking at history, right, where there will be some type of riot, some type of breakout. In the past, there has been more strategy, I think, you know, and it's crazy for, like, the tools that we have now, social media-wise, and just being in contact with each other. I feel like there's less strategy and more, like, just move, you know. rather than taking the time, and maybe because we're not in a position to have to take time. We don't have to strategize as much, but I think it'd be more effective if we did. I don't. Do you think, like, as far as the results that were gained out of this, or maybe we haven't gotten to the final result of this because there's still an aftermath, right? But do you think that that it did execute the goal? Like, do you think there's as far as results are concerned, do you think you got out of it what was needed?
I do, because, like, when I had watched the news, it was like all 50 states had protests, and I ain't never seen no shit like that. I was just like, wow, like, all 50 states, because when it first came over in Philly, you know, you had some people like, why are people over here doing that? It didn't happen in Philly, like, it didn't happen over here, but it's like, you see when everybody come together, you see that it made some
goal
type
to
of
make
difference.
The noise, like the goal to make a sound about it. Like, what was, like, the, what are we trying to execute with the riot? You know what I mean? Like, what was the, like, yo, this is what we're gonna get out of this.
I think everybody. I'm trying to think. You made me just think.
I get making a scene as far as, okay, you think we have to just sit back and take this, you know, but at the same time, mm-hmm. it's like, ultimately, did we really, you know, move the needle? Did we really push forward into a difference being made, or was it just noise, you know? And sometimes, I mean, you could drop the bomb, but did you drop it in the right place? You know what I mean? Did you know what I mean?
No,
I think
we got a result. I think that they were so shocked that all 50 states been protesting. Because normally, when stuff like this happened, we just know over in Minneapolis, they probably just would have protested there and would have been acting a fool over there. But all 50 states was like, you could tell it's still a lot of racism, but you could tell it's a lot of people that's not racist, like how it used to be. So being though,
right.
all 50
you see
states
other people
protesting, yeah, you see other people, especially. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of white people. Like, a lot of white people was really protesting and standing on, you know, right with us. So it's like, you could see it's a change.
That sounds like a surprise. You were like, yo, I thought.
Yeah.
So it was effective for you to see as far as who all stood with you. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like that too. Yeah.
So as far as being out, even though there's a lot going on with quarantine and this illness and everything going on, like people saying, you know what, this is what I'm going to risk. For you, you're saying it was worth it because it's a matter of a representation, a matter of nothing's greater than this. You know what I mean? Like, this is what's the priority of showing up. And I mean, for me personally, I believe that there's a million other ways like we could have gone about it. But I do respect the fact that, like, yeah, we got some result, because I didn't see it at first. But when you say it that way, like, I definitely could see the impact on that end. That's interesting. Have you thought about, like, other ways, like how to follow up with this? Because we can't just continue to, you know what I mean? Can't continue to show up and tear up neighborhoods. Like, there's got to be other things to follow up with this. Has there been conversation about that?
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of people, like, people my age, like, on Twitter and stuff, like, yo, we not about to just riot and act crazy for one little thing. Like, we need to come together more, like, more often. For more, like, a lot of change probably will come when we come together more than just coming together for stuff that's negative all the time. Just even like funeral, you see family only be around each other when it's time for a funeral. Nobody want to celebrate for other stuff. People want to come together when somebody get killed by a cop.
Everybody miss a birthday.
So,
everybody gonna miss a birthday party.
Exactly.
But the funeral happened. Everybody
showing
up.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's my point. Like, people will come together for. I don't want to even say negative or bad, but I guess I'll say negative or bad stuff. But let's come together for the good stuff. Like, let's come together for to support each other. Like we having fundraisers for something, or for like these schools that don't have no money. Like, let's show up for that. Like, let's show up for black owned businesses when they have when they giving away stuff to the kids or let's come together for stuff like that instead of just coming together all the time.
Is there platforms being used for this that you're aware of? I know you said that there's a lot of conversation, like, on Twitter and whatnot. Where are these conversations being held? Like, how did you get the invite? Like, yo, come through, come downtown. Like, what was the system that you was Instagram?
It was literally, I'm telling you, it was crazy. It was everywhere. It was on Twitter. It was on Instagram. It was everywhere. Like, it could have been a random person like me that had like a couple of thousand followers that's popular. Yeah, and they could just make a post like, yo, like nowadays everybody just be hyped for a little get together. Like any type of get together somebody have, they gonna show up. So somebody could have been like, yo, we downtown today to protest, and everybody gonna go, where, you know, it's a pandemic. Everybody in the house, ain't nobody doing that. Everybody's gonna show up. So that's how that was. Like it was like they just posted that.
But the motivation was this police brutality, this death, this murder at that.
Yeah, because you know a lot of people already don't like cops anyway. So people are like, yo, I'm going to show up because I don't like the cops because they cursed me out or they gave me a ticket or people already angry at the cops. So when you say I'm protesting for George Floyd and, you know, a lot of people don't like the cops and they don't like the fact that cops be killing black people, a lot of people was going to show up. So people knew what was going on. But like far as like tearing down certain statues and stuff like that, they probably didn't know what that was. But at least they had some type of idea of what they was doing. I don't think everybody was just out there lost. Like some people still had some type of motive to why they was out there.
But with this noise being made and this awareness being had, like, what's the agenda, you know?
Yeah, hey, River. I just wanted to take a moment. Jackson, I'm a producer. We have several people on the line who want to speak. So I'm going to start with 215914. I'm going to open you up. I had before. So can you just introduce yourself?
And you start with 609. We started it.
So the 215-954 doesn't want to speak.
609.
Oh, 215.
Okay, so I'm going to go to 267-207 first.
Hello.
Okay. Hi, how are you?
Hi, my name is Sharif. I'm good.
Hi, Sharif. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great.
What do you want to say, Sharif? Well, the conversation they were having, I had a few thoughts on that. I do wish it was a lot more organized. You know, sometimes I feel like we could actually take a page from some racist white people with, as like, organization, you know, if we would have had like some kind of a meeting, just something to, because I feel like the internet is very decisive and stuff gets lost in translation and videos and stuff. So a lot of people were just out there on their own whims, just going with whatever they wanted to do for their own personal, you know, feelings, which is fine, I guess, but I didn't really agree with that part. But I also feel like the lady said something about that we dropped the bomb in the right place. I feel like there were two bombs that needed to be dropped. One was for the racist people in America, which was the protest. I feel that was the bomb that needed to be dropped. We needed to protest to show everybody what we're not going to tolerate. However, I feel like the bomb with police brutality was probably missed, only because that's a system that's been in place for just about ever. And I feel like we could go directly to the source and really make more of an impact. That's all I had to say.
That's awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Sharif. So I'm now going to go open up the 609-334. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, 609-334. Yes. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
All right,
sticking on the subject, I'm 53 years old, and it's something important that I need to say is that if I tell everyone about real history, black America, I'm going to lose a young crowd. So I'm going to keep it real simple. These things that we have done, whether you like it or not, whether you stayed in your house, whether you went out, changed history. It woke up the local. Yes, it changed history. And that's what we need to understand the impact of. You can call individual names all you want, and I do recommend that technology exposes everybody who indulges in technology. I'll leave it like that, because they ping the towers. And if the cell phone is, I've been 10 years in prison. So they ping the towers. And if you carried your cell phone and your cell phone was on and blase, blase, they could ping towers, get that shit off the internet. But all I'm saying is, as far as a movement, a positive movement for change, because the change is that you cannot have people who are civil servants conducting in a way where they destroy the same community that they are serving to protect. They killed people, not just one person, multiple people. Now, if I go into history about the multiple people, a lot of people will be lost. So I want to talk to the younger people. You made a movement. You made the president wake up. Even if his culture that he defends says, I'll let them do the same thing. Now they're faced with change. Now, implementing what happened in Black Wall Street. If you don't know about Black Wall Street, get the word out about Black Wall Street. In the middle of COVID-19, ask yourself, did I have to go to a white hospital to get cured? Or did I go to a black hospital with black doctors and black lawyers and scientists who could have cured us? We were caught with our pants down because all the money, all the support constantly was taken out of the community over 400 years. And if you want to go deep, I don't want to lose the young crowd. The passage, so many people, meaning between Africa and America in slavery, is uncountable how many people died. So all those voices that we hear right now in 2020 kind of spoke for all those people who were tortured and killed. But now you just can't go back to the same old thing. You have to apply what you have done to wake up America and the world. There are people in China and Russia and all over that you never thought of who are listening to everything that's going on. It changed South Africa. It could change America. Don't go back to the same thing. Obviously, in your generation, my generation is over. Your generation is changing America. Be proud of that. You don't have to destroy. But look up Black Wall Street and Bill. All those leaders out there who's talking about investing their money and doing this, you still can do it. Hello?
Absolutely.
Yes,
I don't want to talk your ear off. I just wanted to say that.
We definitely
did you introduce yourself. We need you to introduce yourself. You never said who you were.
I'm a simple barber goes by the name of Wally Cuts. You know,
okay.
I'm 53 years old. I was raised in West Philadelphia. I seen everybody talk about what happened with Rizzo. Rizzo was corrupt. Rizzo would hurt people. If you look up Rizzo, you'll see people standing in line with their pants down, genitalia exposed. That was Rizzo. Rizzo started the movement where it ended up till they dropped the bomb. That's that statue they have downtown. And they blamed it on Wilson Good, a black man who took the first position, blase, but Rizzo started it. So I encourage black history from around the way. Don't go by this February, you know, celebrate black history, blah, blah, blah. Find out what happened around the way. Find out your local leaders and what they went through. And as far as military might goes, we got everything. We got all these voices. We're doing all these things. But the military might is simply a wake-up call to not acting ignorant, not acting violent, but letting the world know that our lives matter. Our children's lives matter. Our education matters.
I have a question regarding that statement you just said. Because I think it's very important when you said not to act out violently.
Yes.
So it's being that it's being responded with violence, clearly, because it's people standing all around the Philadelphia, you know, the army, and they have guns. So, and that's a form of entrapment, you know, that brings on anxiety. So if we're telling them not to act out violently, who's going to represent you know, our youth or our generation, and when I say our, I mean 80s, 90s, 2000 babies, who's going to represent us? Who's going to reach out to us where it's not any barrier so that we don't feel like we have to act out violently?
I'm going to give you a short answer, and that is lies inside Black Wall Street. They bombed Black Wall Street, by the way. And that was a time of serious, like, you know, we got everything together. We got our banks. We got our hospitals. We got our lawyers. We got our stores. We got everything that we need as an independent. And so we're not messing with y'all guys. And they bombed it anyway. You understand? They bombed it anyway. But this is 2020. Like, everybody's telling me, and I accept that. They're not going to duplicate that. So the Jay-Z's, he's a billionaire. The Kanye's, I seen somebody. I cut hair. I charged $30 for a haircut. They told me they spent $600 on Kanye sneakers. I'm not knocking that, man. But all these abandoned houses out here, I need y'all to digest this. It's property that you can own inside your communities. If you don't have the money, find somebody who does have the money. You understand what I'm saying? Educate the children to maintain a home, paint the porches, put a roof on it. You understand? And that gives you stability inside your own community, because right now they say, like, in this year, they say, well, you know, you're destroying everything. And I watched this little thing on Instagram where the chick said, we don't own nothing. We live here, we abide by here, but we don't own nothing. Nothing has our name on it. And these millionaires that we listen to, the rap music, I love it to death, don't get me wrong, but they making money. They could buy up these simple $3,000, $2,000, $1,000 properties, share sale properties.
That sounds really good. Really
put the
well.
Money where the mouth is, because in 2020, y'all have to realize one thing. 2020 is significant. I don't want to. I'm listening.
Absolutely. Please listen. So that is all great information, because I've been told that several times. Right now, I want to turn to Sharif. You're still on. I want to ask you, how many people have suggested that to you in your life? And how many people have you been able to count on? Because it's been times when you've been in my class that it was tough. Please explain.
I suggested it myself, actually. I feel like we absolutely cannot put our money back into the white community. Everything that was tore down, our money should not go into putting it back up. We need to support each other. And right now I'm actually trying to compile a list of black businesses, you know, anything, hair, nails, anything people may need.
Well,
you
can start with
65
markets.
Excuse me. I just want to share with everyone, since we're at this point. There's actually a movement called Blackout, not the Blackout Tuesday, which is good, but on July 7th is Blackout.
Yes.
National Blackout Day. We start with one day, then they're going to move to hopefully a quarter, and the goal is to make it our way of life. So it's
so
not
let's
suspended.
Let's talk about Blackout, Ms. Jackie. Let's talk about Blackout Tuesday.
I wanted to tell you, Sharif did ask about the list of black businesses. So you can start with Sharif, ibuyblack.org. It's a free listing. It's a lot of black businesses there. And then I am compiling a directory of black directories. But ibuyblack.org will definitely take you to Philadelphia and, you know, surrounding counties in Jersey and Delaware. So you can start there with a list of black businesses and get yourself involved. They're open. So that's the place you can start.
Can I say one thing?
Yes, sir.
You know, now it is the cell phones, but they used to have house phones. And the house phones was, if I gave you my number, I know who you are. All these black businesses, like the Batman phone, blah, 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 I'm just making a joke. Get a house phone. You know who's calling. You know what businesses and supply system that you have, because we need that. Call each other. Know each other. Know the families. Know the children's names. Because
absolutely.
We're looking for you.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we have a
make
few
sure callers on. Yes. So we have other people that's on. Multimedia, Malvin, are you on? Can you speak up? And tell us, still being that you were locked up in prison and you were able to write a book and start businesses while you were there, and what brought you there? if you're still on the line.
If he's not, I've been locked up for 10 years. I came home, and the thing is crazy. But what I do know is in 2020, I lost family because of a natural funeral. Then the pandemic. I thought everything was going to open up June 2nd. We got riots and everything because of Floyd. God bless
you. So
we want
to give, we have a lot of callers and only a little bit of time, so we want to give everybody an opportunity to speak. So we want to ask you to come back towards the end if we have some more time for you to continue to share.
I'm going
to
call back. I hope I contributed.
You did.
And I hope
you did.
Thank you so much.
And God bless everybody, man. Seriously, we got to move forward.
Most definitely. Thank
Peace.
You. Peace.
Thank you, sir. We have Smoot from Georgia. Smoot, would you like to add a piece in everything that we're talking about so far with the protest? And then I want to talk about Blackout, too.
I definitely want to add a little bit of something to it. When you look at the protests and everything that's going on, you see the young people are out there. They're going every which way. And as the young man stated, they're not organized. I was listening to a famous rapper by the name of Killer Mike. He gave key words that we need to do. We need to organize, strategize, and mobilize. Once we get those three things in motion, we will have the availability. Now, to answer the question of who is going to lead, you have to look at it like this. 90% of the more or black or Negro leaders for us, they've been killed.
That's
whether
true.
It's even what's the young man? I think he was killed in New Orleans, and he led the Black Lives Matter movement, right?
Yeah, and be afraid to die.
So once you look at it, it's like, okay, we want to lead, but they killed every one of our great leaders. So who's at this point, it's like, who's willing to make that sacrifice? Now, if we all came together and we all said we are the leader, they can't take us all. Simple. They cannot take us all at once. Secondly, when you... Go ahead.
No. Continue your thought.
So when you look at it also, secondly, so now that they're out there, you have the individuals they're walking, they're peacefully protesting, and they're macing the peaceful protesters. They're hitting them with tear gas. I seen a picture of a young lady. She got hit by a bullet and her entire face is swollen. How is that acceptable? Young, older gentleman was walking peacefully, and he had his hands up. The policy enforcer pushed him, causing that gentleman to fall backward and bust his head. How is that acceptable?
You know what's really wild, man? In the original civil rights movement, they don't talk about it often, but what our people did, you know, in these churches, in Martin Luther King's church, where he really didn't even want to do the speech, but they showed up at his church with the meeting, like, yo, you're going to be a part of this today. But they trained each other. They would literally practice perform as actors, somebody being the cop, someone being the protester. And they would practice protesting peacefully, because your natural response, if someone is to spit on you or someone is to hit you with something, you know you have reflexes. They trained each other outside of their natural reflexes, right? There was a strategy to peaceful protesting at one point. Okay, like this isn't new, but what it is what is our end goal? You know what I mean? What do we really want to execute on? Is it a point of peaceful protesting? Is it a point of a specific result? And honestly, at this point, because of the work that has already been done, the ground that has already been laid, we're not walking alone. It's not when you see the civil rights movement now, when you see the protesters now, it is a much more broader span. You do see white folks out there who are seriously not, like, how they're of service. How can we help? How can we let you
right.
know that this isn't everybody, this isn't all of us, right? And so to utilize
right.
that, the only way to stop a war on race is to not be on part of a race war. That I mean, that's just ideally the perspective I see it. Like you can't go about, you know, fighting fire with fire and hope it doesn't get any bigger.
So before we go to a break, my biggest question right now is, with everything that's going on, to help the young generation make a difference, when are we going to start talking about reform? That's my question. So before we go to a break, ask yourself that. Think about it. And when we come back, we'll talk about it.
Too late to stop.
Bring that track in.
We have a few more callers. We have about four or five more callers that want to speak. So I'm going to start opening up some lines, okay, host? So I'm going to start with, I'm going to start with 724.
Hey, good afternoon. You guys have a great show going on here. My name is Jan McKay. I'm the founder and president of Life Outside the Streets here in Philadelphia.
All right.
So, I'm going to get right into it. The first thing I wanted to say is I'm a Christian man, and I believe in Christ. And this is one of these stories that stuck out to me that's relevant to this time is, at one point, Jesus walked into the temple, and he flipped the table and basically, you know, kicked everybody out because he said, you know, they turned God's temple into a marketplace. And America did the same thing when they opened up America and they went to Africa and brought the Africans here as their marketplace and turned us into the product. And they've been, you know, selling us in the marketplace ever since. So, you know, when these riots kicked off before and now, you know, for me, it is essential that our children filled with God's spirits was flipping the marketplace and expressing their frustration. Enough is enough. They didn't go into our homes. They didn't tear down their neighborhoods. You get what I'm saying? A couple stores might have been close to our neighborhoods, but most of the places that got flipped were shopping centers where all the businesses in there were corporate companies that rarely, with the exception of Brown ShopRite, has any investment into our community, effective investment.
Sure.
They talk to us like trash. They treat us like trash day in and day out. And they never thought that it would ever be a time where people would get an opportunity to express their frustrations in a way like this about how they've been treated. And as a community, you know, which we often do, we turn around and we talk down on our children and adults and the people that's their way of using their voice. Some people protest peacefully. Some people protest online. Some people go and tear stuff up. You know what I mean? But all of the motives is the same, and I just feel as though as a community, because the next day after the second day of riots, what I did, I made a plea for parents to tell their kids not to go out once the president said he was still in the military because it was going to cost them their lives. You get what I'm saying? But we didn't meet them with love and understanding, but we only met them with judgment. And that's why our children, turn to things like the streets and gangs, because in our own in the legitimate community, there's no safety. Like, you know, I heard you guys talk about who's going to protect us. We already know the police not going to protect us, and the policy holders that are trying to do it the traditional way, they just fall in line with the, you know, systematic oppression. So they turn to who they can turn to for protection. So the priority has to be we gotta provide protection for our own family, you know, and that's what we're focused on, you know, Life Outside the Streets, working with many organizations. We're focused on organizing a voters block in which we develop our own legislation, and once we're organized as a voters block, we can push our legislation through to get what it is that we need. At the same time, we're developing our own policing organization, just like Temple University and LaSalle University has their own police and security to patrol their campuses. We can have the same thing in our community, not just to protect us from the police, and we'll essentially be working with the police and providing them with support, but to also eliminate the violence that's happening within our community, because they won't just be there to secure, but they'll be providing mentorship as well as beautifying the community with landscaping and grooming and teaching the kids entrepreneurship. You know, it'll be a team of individuals called the Peacekeepers. You know, so we got to provide them with the safety and the leadership. Because when we run around and we go on TV, which has been happening for years in and out, and every day, even with the violence, all you hear is adults and professionals that's in positions saying, we don't know what to do. We're trying to figure it out. We ain't got a clue. As a child or even as a citizen, that gives you no security. And that's the big problem that, you know, I believe in. The solution to it is the only thing that this government, because it's not white people at this point. It's the United States government that has agenda against the African Americans, and that's been the case since the start. And the only thing that they respect
is votes. You know what I mean? In power. That's the only way that we can remove them. As black people, we've never played politics for the most part. But every election, the black vote is the center of discussion. So, you know, one would say, yeah, that's why people got to go out and vote. But we haven't done an effective job in educating people on what it means to vote and how this thing works, as well as organizing. And now more than ever, it's more simple to organize a voter's block with social media than there's ever been. So that's, you know, so that's what, and so that gives leadership, that shows organization, and with the peacekeepers, we're going to be providing protection, you know, and we have everything that we need, but we have to be bold enough to go against and stand against, you know, this systematic oppression that has been in place. But we got to speak with more confidence before our people, especially our children.
Mm-hmm. I think you made some really good points, and what stuck out particularly is this entertainment as far as, like, connecting on social media. Omar, are you still on the line?
Yeah.
Great. He brought up a really good topic, and we're going to open up the lines again for comment on this about how, you know, he felt like his generation was lost because they were looking at entertainers for role models and leadership. This is the way they're getting all their information, and not just entertainers, but also local influencers. If they got the biggest butt, they're going to follow them, and whatever they say, go. So, Omar, can you explain that to our listeners and to our host about, you know, what it was that you were saying to me?
Well, I was basically saying, like, you got some people that really care about what's going on, like people like me, like I really care. And you got some people that just, like, they follow, like, Instagram personality people or like celebrities, and basically if they say like they gonna go riot, or if they say we gonna do this or we gonna do that, like some people don't just care, they just want to be Joe or follow them and just do it because that's what they doing. Some people don't really even care about what's going on, and I'm saying the people that do that are lost. Like a lot of people that do that are lost, like they don't really care about everything that's going on, they just play and follow the leader. That's what I basically was explaining to Ms. Dudley.
Okay, so
can I say one thing to that?
Yes, sure, yes.
Real quick, it'll be short. So one, I don't know if you guys seen the speech. It was about like last week after the woman called the cops on the guy when he was in the park. I think it was him speaking, and he told the story of how, you know, these black boys was accused of raping somebody, and Donald Trump paid for an ad to be put in the newspaper that said that those boys should be executed, right? And the reason why I brought that up, because he's absolutely right, and that's how things work. So if those of us that are conscious and aware were strategic and put our money into, because one thing about entertainers, they'll post anything for a check. You know, if we were to use those platforms intentionally to put our social justice messages out, you get what I'm saying, and use it as a marketing platform, yeah, they could be showing their butt one day and be pushing this message the next day. Could use that, you know, we don't have to bring everybody up to speed in order to use their platform, and that would be a strategic route to do that. And that's why the last piece of, you know, what I'm proposing, what I'm putting together right now is basically social media marketing. You know, hiring all of the teenagers starting in Philadelphia training them how to do social media marketing so that they can run campaigns. If any large group of people like, go ahead. You saying something?
I agree to that.
Hello?
That's absolutely
go
right.
Ahead. So I was just going to say, if any large group, if we just think about it, if we have 5,000 teenagers posting the same thing of anything, it's going to go viral, it's going to be successful, it's going to sell. And this is something that they already have the skill set for, but we haven't organized it. And it'll also be something that'll put a stimulus check in every single household, and it's also something that rarely costs anything. And that we're not just going to charge them, we're not just going to teach them how to market on social media. That training and the stipend program, instead of paying them as employees, the stipend program will require them to participate in a social emotional intelligence program that will teach them how to heal, and they'll be getting the mentorship. So we got to start bundling everything that we offer to teenagers, and not just teenagers, to people with the social emotional intelligence, because that's the thing. We have it. you know, with the trauma, we haven't healed, and we don't have a healing culture. So we got to make sure we package everything with that healing and that mentorship when we offer them opportunities. We do have programs out here, but it might be healing over there, mentorship over there, and a job over there. You get what I'm saying? But if we bundle it and attach it, go ahead.
Yes, bundling, and that's the whole point of us having this conversation. Thank you so much for everything. I was just informed that if five other callers, if you guys don't mind, can we please pick up some more of the youth voices and let some other people speak? Please get make sure that you leave your contact information so that we can follow up, and then we can definitely make that networking and get the youth some information that they need.
Thank you.
All right. I've just opened up 647. Who's that? Introduce yourself. Hi, caller from the 647. Can you introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Patrick from Toronto. How are you?
Hi, how are you, Patrick?
Yeah, I'm just fine. Just fine. It's a good show. I'm listening for the most part. I think the brother just brought up a very good point. I think one of the things when you're looking at entertainers, higher end entertainers, they don't do a lot of their own social media strategy. They have PR firms or other companies or other people that are experts in that to do it. And I agree with him that those, when we have campaigns, we should probably look at hiring one of those companies because they're very effective at what they do. So I do agree with the brother there. I think first of all, we probably have to figure out what it is that we want to do. I mean, there's so many problems and there's so many ways to tackle these problems that there needs to be some kind of strategy around this, which means it's just going to call for some meetings, right? Some closed door meetings to kind of start putting this stuff down on paper and start really organizing it. It's amazing that if you work for a corporation, you already know how to use Microsoft Project. You know how to run a project. You know how to organize things and prioritize.
That the issue, too, with when it comes to this generation and going that strategy route, the things that are happening don't really allow the space and the time to be thinking, okay, let's build a foundation, because these things are – you know, people are dying. You know, so your first thought is not okay. Let's go build financially. But I do understand that plays a big part in the health. You know, in the health of the community. I really like to know, as far as like people who have been actively involved on a let's move before the strategy. Like what is the movement now? You know what I mean? What is the follow up? Like where do we go from here now that such a noise has been made?
Right, so that's where the strategy comes in, right? So now you have people on the street protesting. There should be strategizing going on simultaneously, because what happens after it dies down? Now we're everybody's looking at each other like, okay, now what? So that's why strategizing and organizing is so important.
Well, what I do want to say, what I would like to say, one thing what we're going to do, we're going to provide a link. So after the show, you can come back and for each person to put in their information, especially if you have an organization and a program. There is a lot going on. It's just a whole lot, you know, what COVID caused a lot of organization. So in June, it's a whole lot was planned to come out. Then we ran into the protest. But there is a lot of organizing going on. Blackout Tuesday is very purposeful. Blackout Tuesday says no entertainment and no business promotions, no unnecessary speaking. And that's where we just share resources and information and different things so that we can strategize, because there's so much noise in the marketplace. And then July 7th, for 2 months, they've been planning national blackout. That's the economic blackout. The young man talked about the political path, and there's other
political
paths. Can
I say something about that?
Well, I just wanted to say for one quick moment, I just wanted to finish the thought. So what we're going to do just as a collective is create a landing page and put it down, resource information that people can go to. So just know that people are attempting to plan. you know, connect with like-minded people, start organizing at the basic level. Whatever you do can be helpful, and at least you feel like you're doing something. We can't all boil an ocean at one time, but then there can be different groups working. And I just wanted to share
absolutely.
That.
So I think that will be that right there is the basics of what it is that we need to do. So I have a question that I want to pose to the youth about the law enforcement and trust issues. So I'm seeing a lot of people, you know, outside of the protests and, you know, the marches, they're fighting the police right now. You know, they were setting cars on fire. Omar, do you have an opinion on that? Like, what anger do you to want to fight the police right now in Philadelphia? What made y'all, because, you know, they wasn't in Michigan. I mean, Minnesota.
I really never had, like, any, like, personal problems with, like, the police. Like, I never really had, like, no situations, but I heard stories and stuff like that. Like, I think that this was just, like, I think people was waiting for a breaking point. Like, I think this was, like, just, like, the perfect time for them to do it, I guess, on their end. Like, I guess they figured, like, all this chaos that's going on, like, now I could take my anger out on this police officer that has been harassing me every day since I ain't getting in trouble for it. Like, let me set this car on fire. Like, I'm not saying that's what I would do, but that's probably how other people feel, because they get bullied and just, you know, the police mess with them all the time. Not saying that everybody is a saint and they not doing bad stuff every day. Like, they probably is doing stuff, but it's some people that don't be doing stuff and they just get bullied by police all the time. So now they feel as though now I could take my anger out because I ain't going to get in trouble for it. So I think people just trying to fight back because they feel as though it's the right time to do it with all this chaos going on. Like, people not getting locked up like how they normally get locked up. Like, a lot of people just acting crazy right now. That's what I really
think it is. Absolutely. Sharif, if you're still on the line, how do you feel about the police? And have you had any altercations? What do you think your age group, what drove y'all to start setting police cars on fire in Philadelphia? I mean,
specifically for Philadelphia, I have no idea, Miss Ellie, because Philadelphia cops never, in my generation, never did anything actually too bad. I can't recall a time. They're actually pretty lenient, especially with us, you know, sorry to say, but smoking and stuff, riding down the street. Most cops would be like, okay, just go home. I don't feel like writing a ticket today. Stuff like that. So
you don't
for Philly, I don't really get it.
Okay. And multimedia,
to be
Malvin,
honest,
you know,
there were a lot of, there was a lot of white people doing that as far as they weren't most of them weren't our people. And if you see the pictures, they most of them weren't our.
Okay, Anthony Bannister, are you on?
Let me open up the other lines, okay? Because I'm not sure whose number is which. So I'm opening up three more lines, 267, 407, and 215. Let's start with 267.
All right, I'll take a pack of chocolate chip cookies to make up for it.
My
last to get home. Shit.
Hello.
As long as that wind don't come like it was 20 minutes ago.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. 215.
Hi. Can you introduce yourself?
My name is Ophelia Weasley from Philadelphia.
Why are you answering this live?
And then 407. Right, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, this is Carl. Bob Davis. Hello?
Hi,
y'all hear me?
Excellent. And then the caller from the 267, can you introduce yourself? Hello?
267, what?
Okay, so the caller from the 267, I'm going to mute you right now so you're ready to come on. And we're bringing you guys on. And so what was the topic, Remy? Monique, what was the topic?
Well, just, you know, I've been here in
I want to dig a little bit deeper about what brought this about outside of just what happened with because I believe it's a lot deeper than that, and I believe we're sitting okay. around the office. I'd like to just open up the conversation to please any 80s babies and 90s babies that are around that lived through the crack epidemic and the trauma. And kind of, I really do feel like it started from there. And this is just almost like a board that came to us.
I just like to make an announcement, everyone. All of you awesome, phenomenal people. All the lines are open, so we all have to be extra mindful to our background noise because we have about almost 10 lines open right now, probably maybe 15. So if you're talking to someone, we can kind of hear you. So if you don't want to speak right now, no problem. Just mute yourself out. But all the lines are open.
I would like to say one thing, right, about the black family, okay? And it's important for the people to listen. We are being separated. I've heard stories where you can't even get food stamps or get assistance, and if the black man is in the house, he's going to have to leave, take his sneakers, and leave because somebody's coming over to inspect the house and everything like that. Systematically, they tore our families apart. I am imploring everybody in this movement, if you are with a family, support your family, nonviolence. If you want nonviolence where it stands at, do not be violent in your own door. You understand? Everybody's struggling. Everybody is hurting. It's evident. But it starts from the unity of a black family. The woman, the man, the children, or whatever your household contains, the peace that's inside of it, when you walk out towards this movement, bring the peace home with you too. And I'm out. But I need to say, we can be individuals all we want to, but we got to start families from our own individuals' households first. We really have to remember this part.
Okay.
I'm done.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Now, caller 215, is that a young man? Caller from the 215.
Yeah. How are you?
How are you, hon?
Can you hear me? I am great.
Yes,
I'm great. I think y'all made I was listening for a while, so you made a lot of good points. One of the things, I think the question was just asked about going back to the 80s. You know, all our lives we had serious trauma in our neighborhood. But in the 80s and in the 90s, when one person apart from Atlanta or LA, we didn't have the capability of seeing it. And with social media, we got to see this like every day. And then we got to follow it. And then we got to see that there was no accountability by the police officers. Now, the way we learn and the way we teach our children are through sight, sound, and repetition. If you teach them the ABCs, you show it to them, sight, you sound it out to them, and then you keep on repeating. That's how our children and our society learn. When you see all this on social media and see nothing happen, then it comes to a point that everyone at the same time, it clicks that we're not going to take this anymore. Now, when there's no way to get some resolve from that, then you see this type of outburst. It happens in the 60s. It happened on Ridge Avenue. When they burned down Ridge Avenue, they never built it back up. You know what I mean? So what we have to do is really look at strategizing. I look at the Million Man March. We all came down to Washington, D.C. We all listened all day. And after the event was over, we didn't go back and start delegations. We didn't start going off and figuring out what happened and what our issues were in each city. Education, was it police violence, and actually came back together with an agenda, having a black agenda, and holding our politicians accountable.
I'm looking at in Philly now where we grew up, where we grew up, 33rd in Columbia, the Cecil B. Moore, 21st in Burks, all these West Philly, all these places that we lived, we grew up, our grandmothers lived there, and these same politicians didn't do nothing for those communities for 50 years. But now, Strawberry Mansion is turning into brewery town. You know what I mean? Andrew Carn had a dollar program for home ownership back in the 70s. And it still was going on all the way up to the 2000s. You can go to 1234 Market Street and actually put in an application. We need to force our politicians to reinstitute that and reinstitute home ownership, education, and entrepreneurship. You know what I mean? Without that, they're going to keep on taking from us. You know, they're going to
put that in writing for us. Pick another caller, and so we can make that a flash and send it to everyone. Okay. I have to say, and I also would like to bring in another caller so we can get everyone in before the line down, and we will be doing this again. So if we didn't get to you tonight, we will be getting to you again. Okay.
We just have the caller from the 267-266. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hi. Caller from the 267-266.
Hi, my name is Christine, and I am older than most of you guys, and I've been sitting here listening, and I hear you guys, and I hear your cries, but I wanted to say that with all of this going on and the protesting that's taking place, do any of you guys understand what you're protesting about? Why are you protesting? You know, what was your purpose? What was your call for? What was the motivation? Because for me, when I grew up, we really believed that it takes a village, to the point that if I got in trouble and my neighbor saw it, my neighbor was able to discipline me. I would go home, and then I would get in trouble again. We don't have that kind of stuff now. So where, though, the 80s and 90s babies, you believe that you're entitled to things, in my opinion. In my opinion, y'all believe in getting things fast opposed to working for it. So I'm just trying to understand, you know, you guys' mindset of why you do what you do.
Okay. Well, we did address that earlier, Ms. Christine. A couple young people spoke on why they each, you know, protested, and it's kind of why. And so, you know, right now
can
I'm discussing. Go ahead.
Yes, can I make a comment about that? So I definitely understand what she's saying. Just know that's not our experience. I did live through a part of it. However, what we've seen through our view is people fighting and gossiping about each other. What we've seen through our view is people laughing at the families that electricity got cut off. What we've seen through our view is bodies dropped and RIP signs all over the walls. What we've seen through our view is people being addicted to drugs. What we've seen was barriers put everywhere. So, I mean, no, it's not the fact that it's wanting it too fast. It's the fact of their survival. When are we going to get it? When are people going to stop telling us what they have lived through and start showing us what they have went through? Where's the love and the compassion? You know, we don't get anything.
I can't speak for everyone else. I can only speak for me, and I truly believe that I represent that village of doing for my community as much as I can. But it's very hard when you're trying to do things and then you have to come up against mothers who are much younger than me with the mouth, or how you want to say something to my child or whatever, but you're not even outside watching your child. Your child is running all up and down the street doing A, B, C, and D. But because I am a grandmother, I sit outside with mine and other children. I see what's going on. But then when you ask me what happened, you don't like the response.
So I think
older person, can I respond?
Yes. Yes.
An older person, can I respond? I think we probably owe the younger people an apology more than anything. I mean, one of the things that happened is what we do is we sugarcoat how things used to be. Yes, there's some great things that used to happen back in the day, but what we leave out conveniently is all of the mistakes that we made. Because it's all the mistakes that we made that led up to the way things are today. So we don't want them to go back exactly the way things were. There's some good elements that maybe we can, you know, incorporate, but we don't want the younger people to go exactly where we were, because then we'll end up back where we are now years after that, right? So I'll give you an example. All of our institutions, all of our organizations, they were all infiltrated. All of our movements had agent provocateurs all littered throughout them. But because we don't admit that, and because we don't teach that to the young kids, now they're going out here in the street and they're encountering agent provocateurs, right? From the left, right, from the police, they're all coming in and they're being used as pawns. But we never warned them about this because we never admitted our failure, right? Yeah. So I think as an older person, I would say, you know, look, we didn't have everything all together, obviously, right?
True that. Nobody has it all together.
And we need to say to them all of our mistakes. We need to communicate that to them so they don't make the same mistakes instead of being embarrassed by the mistakes that we made.
I would like to interject one time. Just one time. Nobody wants their kids hurt. Nobody wants their kids. I've been in jail. I'm a 10-year vet in Camp Hill, and I'm telling you, there's pedophiles out there, weirdos out there. We're not playing the weirdo game. If you're not playing the cop game, we're not playing the weirdo game. If my kid is playing out on the street, come to me. Tell me what my kid is doing. The way I discipline my kid is not breaking their spirit. I want them to survive. I want them to have an attitude where they can make it through. And I don't need you laying your hands on my kid. With respect to that in the black community, understand that. Teach that. Because you could be like, hey, don't put that crap on my porch, blase, blase, and tell the parent what the parent, as an adult, we went through the crackhead stage. We went through the looter stage. We went through all this. Because look at 2020 for what it is. These young people are raising each other. Hip-hop is raising our young people. If you want to remove yourself from the hip-hop generation, go ahead. Do the traditional things that you have done, and trust me, Trump will implement anything that he can to lay you down. These children are laying down. These children are rising up. What you're trying to do is capture an entity that's been born since the 1950s, 1860s, 1970s.
Yeah.
That's old.
Yeah.
2020. You know,
problem.
Yeah. Because we got three more callers that haven't spoken at all. Plus, we got a fourth caller because our co-host Anthony, he hasn't gotten in. So I'm going to open up for Anthony from the 215, and then I have the 856, the 302, and the 407.
I was on, but they knocked me out. I had to call back. So now I'm back in the line.
I have the 856. Okay,
hello?
So who's from the 302?
Hello. I was on, but they,
no matter.
Hello. Who's from the 302? All right. My name is Ms. Johnson.
Yes.
I'm the one for the 302.
Yes, ma'am.
What I wanted to say is that what I think, everything that I'm hearing that these young people are saying are very valid. Mm-hmm. And I'm hearing some really good things about how we need to help and how they have stepped up and how they have gone out into the community. For the older generation, from going back before someone mentioned the Rizzo era, I was in the first original Rizzo era with the Moose people and how that started. I was 8 years old, and I had to hide in the basement because the police ran up into our house. In saying that, the help that I believe we can give our youth today that are fighting for a voice, for us older ones, we need to assist them. We need to be there to help them, to support them by giving sure. our wisdom, our strength, and our support. This is how we can help them accomplish some of the things that we couldn't. They are our future, and we need sure. them just like they need us. So we need to have some compassion. We need to show some support. We need to give them the guidance and the wisdom in doing so and helping them walk this out, because they're walking this out for our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and our great-great-grandchildren for generations to come. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Thank you, Johnson. Caller from the 856.
Hello, my name is Sabrina. I have just been listening in, and first I want to say that this is great. This is a big step in the direction of the movement of repairing what's been broken, which is our foundation of faith, family, and community. The action is the part that I'm interested in. So as I'm sitting here listening to everyone, I was thinking about an organized, using social media, apology to these people, to our people, for our shortcomings, for us hiding behind our wealth, behind our education, behind our 40 acres of a mule and our desire of entertainment, where we failed them, and they're out there by themselves. But they're not, because we're behind the scenes doing this here. But they need to hear it. They need to see it. And the fastest way for them to see it is social media.
Right.
That's all I have to say.
Okay,
on that
all right. So,
thank you. Thank you.
All right, great. You know, there is an opportunity. Maybe we can have our young people lead the Black Love Day and find out about that holiday, which includes a, you know, forgiveness ceremony. So what I'm going to do next is go to Anthony, and then we're going to go back to Coach Smooth. Okay,
right.
So and there's some young people. If you guys want to talk, I just need you to press 1 because I can't tell if you do. And when all the lines get open, it kind of gets cluttered. So maybe what I'll go back and do, everyone, is Anthony
yes.
and then Coach
yes,
Smooth. But what I'm going to go back and do is close everyone else's line. And that way, if you still want to speak, I'll come back. Well, we'll be closing now. So after Coach Smooth, I'm going to come and we're going to open up everyone's line and you can make a 30-second closing statement. Okay?
All right.
So go ahead, Anthony.
All right. Well, basically, to make it quick, from my point of view that I see is that hip-hop has a lot to do with what we're seeing right now. You know, whether we know it or not, it's like it's a culture war happening at the same time. There's a tech war happening. There's a lot of variables happening at the same time simultaneously. And from the hip-hop perspective, you got to realize it came out in 1973, same year I was born. It means you're seeing it right now, our generation and the children underneath us. You know, the fight, the power, the message, Black Medallions, RBG. Like, we really believe what we was taught ahead of us, and our children are picking up the mantles and doing the same thing. So this is exactly what everyone was expecting. This is exactly what they were speaking about back then. It's just that really, this is a manifestation of it. And the problem of it is we abandon slightly the love in our community. We got to restore the love. We got to restore the spirit of Philadelphia. We got to have investments. We don't need more discipline if we sow more love. You know, if we invest more, we have more authority. We reap what we sow, but we don't have the investments because we haven't loved our neighbors. And it doesn't make sense because our neighbors, if something happens to your home, the very first person you're going to ask is your neighbor if somebody break in. If anything happens to your house, you're going to ask your neighbor. So it behooves us to invest in our neighbors. And if we invest in our neighbors, then we automatically, by default, insulate our community. It's kind of like the Hands Across America thing that was in the movie Us. If we invest in one another, we'll reap what we sow. So what we're seeing also at the same time is the fruit of our lack of investing in one another. But we have the opportunity to restore love, to restore the spirit of Philadelphia. And the music is going to be a part of the catalyst. The art is going to be a part of the catalyst. And the language is going to be a part of the catalyst because we have to be able to articulate our emotions. I heard the brother speaking earlier regarding the emotional intelligence. That's what it's going to take. It's going to take social intelligence. It's going to take social capital. But all these things are coming together because it's also in the spirit of my grandmother and my grandfather. It's Yemoja. It's many being one. It's about us being unified. We have to build a pipeline to connect the couplings in our community. So that's what's happening right now. I got faith in us. I don't want to say too much. I just want to speak through inspiration, and that's me. I'm Tony Fatah. Shalom.
All righty. Thank you, Tony. Dr. Smoot, Coach Smoot.
Well, it will be Dr. Smoot pretty soon. However, I just wanted to say this. I really feel as though we really missed the opportunity to hear what the younger generation truly has to say with everybody else. And that's okay. That's all fine and dandy. I know that the young kids were texting and wanting to speak. This is your time to get your voice heard because we are currently seeing you day in and day out standing in front of the policy enforcers, letting them know we're upset, we're mad, but we need to hear you. So you can't sit back and not say anything. This is a time for you to, if you're a caterpillar, become that butterfly. Go ahead and start flapping your big wings and let them know, I'm here. Look at me. This is what we need. These are the reforms that we need. Because this is the time for people like me to be in your corner and push you forward. Because I'm already headed up the hill. By the time I'm 50, I'm on the way down the hill. So it's time for you to bring you up, to let you have that voice, because I know they're probably tired of hearing me. I know they are, because I'm on YouTube every other day. I'm on Facebook every other day. I'm on every social media website getting my voice out there. I know they're tired of me. Now, if we have each person on this call that is under the age of 22 starting to make that voice become one, we'll have the opportunity to lift one another in a greater light. I'm Coach Smoot.
Awesome, awesome. So I can't remember whose number is who, but I'm going to end with you, Omar. So you're muted for the moment, but I want to end with you because you started us off. So I'm getting ready to open up 267-207, and 30 seconds unless you're unless you're in the target age. Hello,
7-2-7. Yes. Yeah, hi,
is this is Sharice again. Yes. Oh, again. Alrighty, honey, you go ahead. What would you like to say?
I guess my last thought would be to the older guys that was on the call. Well, to everybody that was on the call, you know, we are really smart people. This was amazing. You know, the minds in here are pretty great. But to the older generation, I would say I personally don't really need you guys to be apologetic for anything. You were living your life just like we're living our life now, and it's not really your fault. I would just say be strong for us because we need your guidance, and we can't do any of this without you guys. It's the same as you can't do it without us. So don't be sorry. Just, you know, keep helping us out. That's all.
Awesome, awesome. All right, 215-868.
Hey, hello.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great platform, and I'm going to keep it short.
I think the most important thing for us to do is communicate and listen and be open-minded. If we can do that, then we can move forward and strategize. And that's all I have to say. Hey, thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Awesome. Thank you. Don't forget to say your names when you when you're closing out, so we'll know who you are.
Yeah. 267. Okay. Oseyewusi.
Okay. 267-266. Okay. 407. Caller from the 407.
Yes. Yes. Hello? Yeah, this is Rob Davis. Also,
oh, hi, Rob.
Seeking
I'm
opportunities
sorry.
To win. How are you? Yeah, I got bumped off earlier.
Okay.
I'm definitely enjoying listening to the to all the comments and all the opinions and all how everybody feel. We're at a bad place. One of the things we need to deal with that hasn't been dealt with is the anger issue. We as adults, from the Generation X age, you know, we've suffered a whole lot of injustices. You know, we're doing some things that we saw our parents deal with some things that we are not, we didn't stand or comprehend. And then our young people are mad at their parents because the parents dropped the ball. See, we got comfortable and complacent with our movement. And what happens is we lost leadership. All the leaders got bought out or whatever way they got, you know, disposed of their leadership position or their power to say, they left us. And that's what the young people are mad at. See, the problem is we can't have a unified movement because there's a whole lot of anger. And everybody's anger is about something different. And that's why you're going to have a group of individuals who are going to have different agendas. And there's not going to be a congruency within the movement. We need to help our young people to understand where they are, to be able to look past what is before them, to see what is beyond them, a future, a hope. And they don't want the hope and the future that their parents had of complacency. They want an opportunity, a full opportunity for everything that the future has to offer them. So we need to plan, and that's going to take leadership. We need to hold the leadership to accountability.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much, Rob. We'll close out with your piece. Caller from the 302-897. All right. I'm going to keep moving. Caller from the 302-897.
Yes.
You want to give us
this is Ms. Johnson again. I just wanted to say that this was a great platform. I think it was a start. It's a beginning. Yes, organization needs to happen. We do need a leader. We can't have a bunch of leaders because then everybody would be displaced. But someone has to be in the forefront, and we have to support that wholeheartedly. And I look forward to this moving on in the future and getting better and things happening and getting done. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Johnson. Caller from the 253. Do you want to give us a closing statement? You've been listening in. All righty. Caller from, oh my gosh, this is Remy. Okay, Remy. Monique. All right.
Yes.
Okay. All righty. You stay here before the close out.
Okay.
Yeah, just stay here. I'm going to do one more, and then because it will save you and Omar for closing out. Okay. Caller from the 267-815. Hi, caller from 267-815. Do you want to give a closing statement? Okay. So, caller from the 253-306. You want to give a closing statement?
Yes, yes. This is River Jones. I do believe that there's so much that can come out of this conversation. You know, I'm definitely inspired as far as being able to see different perspectives on everybody's idea of what needs to happen next. And I want to start using these platforms. You know, the fact that we can be connected at such a distance so instantly. Start using those, you know, to our advantage. And so that's really where my mind is just strategizing. Okay, now that the voices have been heard, you know, movements have been made and impact has been made, you know, good, bad, and indifferent. Where do we go from here, and how do we utilize some of the free tools, the simple tools? You know, we don't have to meet up in person. We can do this right from the comfort of our own homes and still make some things move, you know, still make some differences from politics to finances to just emotional and to physical health and wellness, like all of that, you know, can be impacted without us having to leave our space. And I think that's something we should definitely take advantage of. So that's where my mind's at from here. So I do appreciate everybody for sharing.
All right. Thank you, River. And so I guess it takes us to Remy, and I'm going to open up Remy and Omar. Can you guys close this out?
Sure. I just would like to thank everyone for joining us on this open conversation of Hear Me Now. This will not be the only time. This is just the very beginning. So now that we have several different people from across generations in one room, I believe that we can put together something and move forward. I would like to thank everyone again.
This is Omar talking again. I just like to thank everybody for talking and speaking and saying how they feel about everything. And I just feel like all we need is communication. Like, you see, it was no arguments. Everybody said how they felt. Like, the more people communicate, the better things are. And a lot of communication is lost nowadays. So I'm just glad we had a chance to talk about everything that's going on.
Awesome. So, I guess we're going to close out with the piece, I think it's One Man's View by Robert Davis. And from Master Grio Radio, I thank all of you for tuning in. Please remember to, and I need you to come back because I don't actually have everyone's email and your phone numbers don't stay on. So please come back to the page, come back to the show, and we will have a link. And you can sign up on an email list. You can let us know the name of your company or your organization. Give us a description of what you do and your contact and what you believe, you know, a next step should be. So this way we can create a resource landing page, you know, for to Hear Me Now. And then people can come back and check things out. I also like to... it got really hectic, so I didn't get to share with everyone, but 100 Black Men, they have a program called Manhood 101 in Philadelphia. So if you look up 100 Black Men in Philadelphia, they also have a program that's pretty comprehensive. So that's it. Thank you, everyone. And, you know, Remy say, I say, stay phenomenal.
There is a clarion call, an ancestral beckoning, for a reckoning against the ills of black folk. Mother Earth is crying out for freedom, justice, equality. Her tears resonate as the beatings of injustice reverberate under the rhythm of footprints and footsteps of a people with nowhere to go, nowhere to call home. I sit on my bed, perched at the window, circumventing these voices in my head, as I glare through the divided blades of the open shade and a fixed glaze upon the brick wall of the adjacent row home. Ears filled with Say So by P.J. Morton, featuring JoJo, blaring through the headphones, but I don't hear the music of this phenomenal playlist. My attention is amidst somewhere
far away from this. The crime, the poverty, the beatings, the killings, the lies and deception, socioeconomic inequality, the inhumanity, the movements that ain't moving, because evidently we still here. The other day I watched a young brother die right before my eyes. Who would have thought that the last good words he ever heard would have been mine? They say Jesus wept. I cried. 18 years, 18 tears, he blessed this earth, yet to live, yet he died. Still along with all the others who got shot or killed by another, a brother, or even a cop. Stop. Please. Stop. So I can breathe.